I was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541.
How was your guys' Christmas? Do anything fun?
Christmas.
I had my kid Christmas Eve and Christmas morning this year, which is the better way to do it out of the two. And so I got to do the, like, you know, 13 years old Santa sort of, like, you know. But we still do, like, the cookies and leave out carrots for the reindeer and shit just for fun. And, yeah, it was nice.
What do you mean for fun? I mean for fun
because I get to eat cookies.
You get to eat them because
I'm stealing from Santa Claus.
Are they low sugared cookies at least for you?
No, bro. We make those good chocolate chips, and I feast. This is the time of year when you're just cool, gaining a cool 10. You know, like you can work it off later, but like this 'tis the season to just sort of eat as much bullshit as you can. But yeah, it was fun. Like, set up, you know, like, went over to my mom's house, like, after the kid went to bed, got all the presents, brought them over, set them all out, like, did that whole thing. So, I don't know, it was fun. I hadn't done anything like that in a while, so it was kind of cool.
I will say, you are at the tough age to where it's
13,
it's not like the
yeah.
little kid. It's not like the little kid where it's like, oh, everything's yeah. real and, you know, the magic of Christmas, yeah. right? And then they're not old enough to where, like, adult Christmas, where you just drink heavily yeah. and
what do you mean? Do
try
you,
not to yell.
What do you mean it's not real? Sometimes I think you guys forget who could be listening to this.
No, I was, by the way, like, I am not saying that. I literally am saying I'm stealing.
Sounds like you're doubting.
I'm stealing Santa's cookies. That is what I'm telling you.
I feel like you need to be probed into that answer a little bit.
I mean, the true Christmas is, you know, praying to old JC, right? Not this Absolutely. fat man sliding down a chimney.
Why can't it be both, Ski?
I mean, I think one probably contradicts the other somehow.
Did you just say counter dicks?
I think you said counter dicks. I was like, I didn't hear that right, did I?
Hey, King, are you a contra dicks or a counter dicks guy?
I'm a contra dicks guy.
Okay.
Dude, I am flummoxed watching this football game. I don't even really know.
Hey, King, right, are you a flow-mixed or a flummoxed guy?
I always been a flow-y guy.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
That was something.
That was amazing. Oh, you know, I'll say, like, to your point, Ski, the challenge as a parent of, like, a new teenager or a teenager in general is to try to coax that old Christmas stuff out of them. So, like, coming up with ways to surprise them, like, coming up with ways to make it fun and, like, bring out that, you know, that young kid energy. So that's that. I got some of that this year because the kid woke up and I got up to go to the bathroom. Kid got up like same time, was in the living room staring at me as I walked by, like scared the hell out of me and was like super excited to see all the presents. And so that's fun. Like, that's sort of what you're shooting for. You guys, King, you guys posted like a video. You guys do like the hallway thing, right? No, you don't. Are you not a part of it at all?
I mean,
the hallway thing.
Yeah, like you put the wrapping paper up or something, and
that's what the wife does. Yeah,
yeah, that's cool. That's cool, man. Yeah. That's fun. Kids break through like they're coming out for kickoff and see all the cool shit out there. I like it. I don't know. Ski, you don't have kids. Do you have any Christmas traditions? Drinking heavily.
Depends how it goes with the family or not.
Okay.
It's always determined year to year.
Yeah, it sort of depends.
Right.
Fair enough. I guess that's that for Christmas. Cool.
Yeah.
All right, now we're good. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Alex King Ski. Merry Christmas. Hope you had a nice one. It's coming up on the new year, which means Oregon's playing in the Rose Bowl. So that's going to be cool.
I have one Christmas thing.
Okay.
Why do people have such strong opinions on Thanksgiving food and no one says shit about Christmas food?
Is Christmas like a – is it sort of like a throwaway thing or is it more of a
– I don't know. I mean, it's more of a sacrosanct day on the calendar. Like it's should be more important, but no one cares. No one mentions it.
Yeah, because
it's
true. I mean, you look at Easter. Easter's like, oh, you get your Easter ham and stuff like that. It is interesting. But Thanksgiving is purely eating. Like, you're only there too.
Fair enough.
Is the only difference with that. But I do agree where.
And to watch Cooper.
I think. Oh, of course. Everyone. I mean, that's a given. I think it's so close to Thanksgiving. People are like, I just spent 10 hours cooking this shit a month ago. Probably don't want to do that again. The only thing I give to people for a little pass on it.
Yeah, I mean.
Do you guys have a traditional Christmas thing or is it different every year, your meal?
Not dinner. No, it's usually mm-hmm. different. I mean, we have like a crap ton of cookies. And so that's sort of we basically
that's the
just
only different.
You basically just snack on cookies all day. And so
fair enough.
So I mean, we did have, you know, we do throw together like a ham and, you know, sometimes have mashed potatoes and stuff with it too, like, you know, but nothing even close to Thanksgiving. So
I mean, do you go full out cooking?
No.
Cuz I know some do though. Yeah.
Some do. I mean, yeah, we don't have any like traditional Christmas Day meal by any stretch. Like 2 years ago, we ordered Chinese. The guy said Happy Rosh Hashanah. I went, I have a crooked nose, but let's not go there, bud. Yeah. Thank you.
That's a little anti-Semitic,
bud. It was during the red wave of the midterms, 2022. It was a whole thing.
Acceptable.
But and I was like, Rosh Hashanah. It's not even it's Hanukkah.
Yeah,
or Smokey Robinson would say, Happy Chanukah.
Chanukah.
Have you guys seen that clip of Smokey Robinson?
It's pretty good.
It's very good. But yeah.
But again, in your eye, what even is like Christmas food then?
I think prime rib and ham constants. And you fill around it with whatever you fill around.
Yeah, but it's all about there's no sides. It's not like sweet potatoes, yams, green bean casserole. It's none of those.
Yeah, it's
Christmas thing.
Yeah. It's an interesting one. Yeah,
it is. It's a protein and then a bunch of candy, basically.
I agree with Braga, where it's more about the cookies and desserts, the Christmas Yule log shit like that.
Yeah.
What are your guys' take on like the peppermint bark candy thing?
All peppermint's disgusting.
I think it's awful.
Man, I'm a peppermint boy. I'm not going to apologize for it. I like the peppermint flavor.
This guy loves eating toothpaste, I guess.
You know what?
I like Lifesavers mints.
See what I got here?
Round ones.
These are the big soft guys. The ones that like melt in your mouth. These, yeah. Oh, they're so great. All day long with those. Yeah. Holiday season, I get the sugar-free peppermint like syrup stuff that I put in my coffee. It's fantastic.
Ooh.
I know. Ooh. I know.
Are you not a big sucking on that phallic candy cane guy?
Not a candy cane boy. You know,
try and get that arch in there too. Mm-hmm. Got to work the angle.
Very talented, yeah. But no, I don't. I something I did do this year though is we had the two stockings, one for me and one for the kid. And for some reason, I thought it was a good idea to just buy myself candy to put in there. Like I'm type 1 diabetic. Like, I should not be buying myself candy, but I did. And I bought candy that I have a problem with. I think I've talked about it on the pod before, like my problem with Lifesaver gummies. If I buy them, I eat all of them and like quickly. And there's nothing I can do about it. It's not even like a voluntary thing. My body just like does it. It just eats it. And I got those for myself. Why would I do that? Like,
that's your Christmas gift yourself.
Is it? It feels like I'm punishing myself afterwards. Like it feels like a punishment. My body doesn't like it and doesn't want it. But for some reason, more than all the cookies I'm eating, too. Like, it doesn't make any sense, but...
Well, the problem is, if you go, like, the sugar-free route on those gummies, you risk the consequences of that.
That's true, too. Which... Yeah, that can be a problem. Yeah. Intestinal problems. I also got Sour Patch Kids. I got Sour Patch Kids and Lifesaver gummies for myself. Like,
love Sour Patch Kids.
When will it end? Like, what?
Give me Sour Patch Kids, some Starburst. That's all I need. I'm good. I don't even need your cookies. I'm not a cookie guy.
Well, Starburst. That's a, you know, like, I'm not going to yuck anybody's yum, but Starbursts are garbage. They're garbage candy. I hate them. They're terrible.
What? Okay, that sounds like a you problem.
You're probably right. You're probably right.
Starbursts are terrible.
You know,
there's
what?
Like 97 varieties of Starbursts. Everyone loves Starbursts.
You know what? This is on me. This is on me. I put myself out there. You opened up yourself out there, and then I yucked your yum and talked down on you. That's on me. You know, that's I apologize.
That was crazy. That was
I set
really
you up.
Weirdly lashing out on.
I set you up, and I apologize.
I do have a problem solver for you, Braga, for your, you know, you can't stop eating your gummy lifesavers.
Yeah, I can't
right?
do it. Yeah.
Old Santa Claus should have came down and just threw a little tin of Zin in your stocking. Mm-hmm. That little appetite suppressant of that nicotine would have killed that fucking lifesaver habit right there.
You know, you're
I
right.
Will say,
yeah. Like,
yeah. I will say at all the Christmas events I've gone to in the last like 10 days, the amount of pressure every adult male is like, hey, have a Zin. Have a Zin. It's only a 27 milligram Zin. I'm like, I've had nicotine in like 5 years, man. I'll shit my pants. Just have a Zin. It's a Zin. It's fine. It's good for you. It's a Zin.
It is. It's good for you. Yeah.
Like, I don't want a Zin. I'm good. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, what is with
another
like
pollutant in my body?
The Zen culture is really toxic, you know. Like,
making nicotine clean and easy was such a mistake.
Oh yeah, it's
there was shame in dipping. There was shame in cigarette smoking. You got to sit out there on your break and cower in the rain or hide from the sun. And when you dip, you got to pull that shit out of your teeth and your breath stinks and your significant other doesn't want to kiss you. Zin's too easy. It's too easy. It's like
you don't even know. You don't even know if someone
it's
has
like
one.
If they
in
put it. Fentanyl in your water and you could just drink fentanyl and no one knows. They just think you're a funny, zany guy. It's too easy.
Until you die.
There's no shame in it now.
Bring back shame in using nicotine. Like, it's good for you.
You should almost be have to like carry around like a dip cup or something to be like signaled out, because that's where the shame was. It's like it would turn these, they see you have a little dip cup in your hand, especially if it's like a clear bottle where it's disgusting. Oh, everyone will just turn their nose up at you, like, and just shame you.
There was a period of time at work where people must have thought I just drank coffee the entire fucking shift. But all I was doing, I just had it in my hand, so in case I was cornered by someone in a conversation, I could go. That's right. That's a good point.
You didn't? Did you? You didn't go have the coffee top on?
You know, I had the top on. I spit through the little hole. Yeah,
yeah.
So no one could see it. Yeah. That's it.
That's a veteran move right there.
It's a vet move. Yeah.
You know who you guys
walk in there with a Dasani water bottle?
Yeah.
You know who you guys were sounding like there for a minute? It's a couple of senators trying to ban Zins from this country a few months ago. Yeah. That went out the window really fast, by the way.
because it's so clean now. All the politicians are now doing.
Yeah, yeah. Their constituents were like, "Fuck no! If you get rid of my Zins, I get rid of you." Like, you know what? Take away my health care. Like, make me pay like $800,000 for a 2-bedroom house. Like, whatever. But if you take away my Zins, you're out of here.
It even like goes towards like the cannabis industry. It used to be you lived in like an apartment, right? You're like, oh, fucking Daryl. Daryl's hitting the bong again. Okay, give it an hour. If you can still smell it, we'll file a complaint. Now, it's peppermint bark, THC. It's let me hit my vape pen. We need to bring back shame in our Zins.
Yeah. I do like your willpower though of not getting the Zin, because if you haven't done nicotine in a while, I mean, don't waste it on a Zin. Just go straight to a heater if you're going to jump back in.
Saturday at the Christmas thing, I denied the Zins, and the guy was finally like, I got some Copenhagen long cut. I haven't even opened the can. Can you smell it? He flips up the cardboard. Yes, of course I want it. Of course I want this.
I rebuke thee.
It'll make me sick.
You don't want me throwing up all over your floor. Stop it.
Dylan Gabriel was barely in college last time I did this.
Good for you, man. Good for you. Did you go to church?
Now if I can just quit heroin.
Did you go to church for Christmas?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I love to do a little midnight mass.
Yeah? You did that?
Yeah.
It was actually like midnight? It was a midnight mass
thing? No, it was like 5. No, it was like 5:15 in the afternoon. All right. Yeah. All right. So it didn't quite get the same.
Now that's insane.
But there's something. Well, it's just to get it out of the way. You just
Yeah. How's the big man doing? You know, like
he's doing good.
You checked in, like doing all right.
I think he was. If I remember the scripture that night right, I think he was risen the next day. I could be wrong. I think that's how that one worked.
Did the preacher say is JC and God are they pros into? I mean,
Jesus was definitely pros in.
All right. Good. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but God was sort of a purist though, you know? Like
God's old school. He smokes those fucking marbs. Yeah. He doesn't give a shit.
Red strike or whatever it is. No lucky strike.
Lucky strikes.
Yeah.
Does God have like I just imagine God with like the really long thin cigarettes. Like that have like the little
Benson and Head. That have Virginia Slims.
Yeah.
The Virginia Slims.
That you put into the thing that you all then you smoke that out of. Yeah. Whatever those are.
Again, we lost some shame when we got rid of the long metallic tube.
That was classy though.
And people would put on their little smoking things on their hands so you didn't get the smell. Yeah. Bring back
there used to be classes smoking. You had your like fancy little cigarette tin that you would open up and your expensive lighter. Yeah, and you had your gloves and your little tip that didn't, so your lips didn't get that smoke on it too much. Perfect.
Nine out of 10 doctors, endorse Chesterfields. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I see you're a little heavy there. You want to shake up smoking? It's a good idea. Good for your health. It's a
miracle drug. Yeah. So it was their Ozempic. It was their Wegovy. Yep.
Booble says Jesus was a big American Spirits guy.
I can see that. Yeah, no additives.
He is a dirty hippie. He loves to smoke a heater that takes 25 minutes to smoke.
Yeah.
Speaking of smoking. What were you guys doing on Saturday? Did you tune into old ABC and see this Ohio State team smoke Tennessee? Did you see this new version Buckeyes smoke the Volunteers? Because I don't know if anyone can beat this version of Ohio State.
Not this one. Nobody. They're the 8 seed, but they got to, they got to reseed after the first round because I think everybody knows that we should swap 1 and 8 right now.
Ah,
you know,
of course. The Ohio State flip in one game over 20 days or whatever is so funny. Fire Ryan Day, get him out. Now it's like, could they line up against the New York Jets?
The same people who said fire Ryan Day are saying Ohio State is currently the best team in the country and is unbeatable.
Who is pushing this propaganda the most?
A lot of people. There's an article on ESPN.com. It's Paulo Ugetti.
Was it like Mandel did it too or something?
Mandel is doing it. Ari Wasserman's doing it. Like it's a thing. It's a thing. And it's I just want to be like, it was one game. Yeah, they look great. They did. Yeah, they played their A game. And you want to know what? Tennessee was never going to beat them if they played their A game. But, like, I know it was in Eugene, but we did see Ohio State play a pretty good game against Oregon.
Yeah.
Like, and Oregon won?
Pretty,
I don't know.
Yeah, they played it like a pretty clean game against Oregon. I mean, they did have the play where Harmon took the ball away from them. But other than that, like...
I mean, Will Howard had almost the identical game against Oregon, except for he threw an interception in this Tennessee game. It's like the only difference.
Well, he technically threw an interception against Oregon, too. The Big Ten officials just decided, you want to know what?
Now we don't want to look at it. Now we're good.
As everyone in America was like,
the crowd, literally the crowd, Dan Lanning, everybody's like, hey, hey, hey. And then it led to a touchdown, by the way.
But he had a high completion percentage, which good on him. He had a good game. Threw for 300 yards and 2 touchdowns. Again, that's what he did against Oregon. So what is the difference? Yeah.
They're down 2 offensive linemen. Their center and their left tackle. That's the difference. Jordan Birch. Yes.
And Trayshawn Holden for 3 quarters.
One would assume.
How is this a new Ohio State then?
What do you mean? This version?
Didn't you watch the game? Come on.
If Ohio State or pick a pitcher. If Nolan Ryan could just – now, that doesn't even work because he had a 7 – his ERA was like 5. But, like, it's
–
this version is so funny. They played one good game. Okay, if Ohio State plays A-plus ball in all phases, okay, sure. They'll probably win. But why would you expect that? That was their best offensive performance of the year. And they destroyed Tennessee. Their second best against Oregon. And they lost. And it, last second loss. Like, it's not like they lost by 30 or anything. But they lost. So, you want to know what? I think Oregon can beat this version of Ohio State. And that's the weird thing is because in the analysis of this game, like when people are talking about the Rose Bowl, it's, well, Oregon played perfect. And Ohio State played really good too, but there was that offensive pass interference, which was technically the right call. They just don't always call it. And then Will Howard slipped. And my thing is, no, because we said, there was that pick that should have been a pick. Ohio State scored 7. Yes. Oregon missed an extra point, and then they went point chasing. Yep. And they never got it back, but because they nuked that onside kick at a Buckeye like he was a Russian soldier looking at a Ukrainian drone coming for its dome. People think that Oregon just played this flawless game. But in the third quarter, they were at the 1-yard line and got 0 points. Yes. And then in the fourth quarter, they were like the 2-yard line, had to settle for a field goal. Mm-hmm. And give Ohio State credit for that. But Oregon didn't know. There is a world where if Oregon just makes 2 blocks, they win by 2 touchdowns. And we're not even talking about the pick. You know what I mean? That gave Ohio State 7 points, or even if Oregon punts, that's a 7-point swing. There was a world where Oregon won that game very comfortably. Yeah. And I get it, that was a long time ago, but no one's mentioning that. Yeah.
Are they underhyping that Oregon game more than they are overhyping
So this last weekend, so college football in general is an overreaction from week to week business, which we see all the time. This is the pinnacle of that. And it's not just that game. It's not just Ohio State beating Tennessee. Like Penn State, the way they beat SMU, people are like, oh my God, this Penn State team, like, are they really like this good? Can they go out and beat Oregon again? Are they blah, blah, blah? Should SMU have even been there? Should Indiana have? By the way, like the Indiana-Notre Dame game, like people spent the entire game saying, holy shit, Indiana's trash. Like they never should have been here. They ended up with the closest margin of any of the games. They lost by 10 to Notre Dame. They held Notre Dame to 27 points. And so maybe Tennessee isn't as trash as we think. Maybe Penn State isn't as good as we think. Maybe Ohio State isn't as good as we think. I don't know. Who the hell else was the other game? Texas and Clemson? Fucking cares. But
Tennessee is trash. Let's just get that out there. Nico is not a good throwing quarterback.
I posted in the Discord. Yeah. Out of 13 volunteer games this year, that was the 9th game he threw for under 200 yards, and he only cracked the 100-yard mark on his last completion of the game. Yeah. Like, Nico, for all the hype, and some quarterbacks take longer, he could be great next year. Jaden Daniels, great example. It took until his 5th year. First year, we saw flashes, not much for 3. 5th year, great. So it could happen. But he's not a natural passer. And the thing, like you posted the Ohio State stat, they have not given up a touchdown through the air since, what was it, October 16th when they played Oregon, right? Yeah. So none of us are going to sit here and say, like, Ohio State has a bad defense.
No. They're a really good team. Yeah.
They have a great defense. But you want to know what? Oregon moved the ball at will.
So does the number one team in the country. That's why they've been number one for like 3 months and why they had a fucking bye in the first round of the playoffs. What are you talking about? They're the number one team with a sixth-year quarterback who has all of the career passing records. Stop it!
And I do think if Oregon wins this game, be it by a comfortable 11 points or a 52-yard field goal at the gun that they make or whatever, sure.
Please not that.
I think at that point, people will finally be like, okay, Oregon's actually good.
They beat this Ohio State team? Is Oregon ever going to lose again?
And Bruce Feldman will get on Twitter and go, I still think the Buckeyes are the best team in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, the Wisconsin game, Oregon's offense really bad. Okay,
very bad.
If you want to talk about Idaho and Boise State, there's the caveats with the offensive line. And in the Boise State game, there's the caveats that Oregon returned two kicks for touchdowns because Boise State wasn't exactly ever stopping Oregon's offense. Oregon just fumbled twice and had two returns, so they never got possession.
God, they really could have lost that game, by the way. Like, Oregon,
messy as hell.
Yeah.
But my thing is, we've seen them play Ohio State, best defense in the country, people say. Mm. We've seen them play Michigan for all their flaws on offense. They held Ohio State to 10 points like 3 weeks ago. They have four guys who are getting drafted up front, blah, 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 blah. We saw them against Penn State, a top five defense. At what point do people not just sit there and go, you want to know what? Oregon's just going to get theirs. Yeah. Like, they're just going to score. Mm-hmm. Like, at what point is it like, you want to know what? That six-year quarterback is just always going to get it on third and four because that Tez Johnson guy just keeps camping out at the sticks.
Yeah.
Like, it's
8 yards on first down every time.
And, like, I've kind of mentioned this before, that there's a feeling of, like, inevitability when I watch the Oregon offense this year. It's like kind of like the Chiefs with Mahomes and Kelsey, where it's third and four. They're just going to get five, and it's going to be – what the hell, man?
It is weird. Just, like, this Oregon team, like, it's basic football stuff. Like, that's why they're good. It's because they do well on first – when they're full strength. We should preface it by saying that. When they have Tez, when everybody's there, they do well on first down. They do really well on third down. Like, that is Dylan Gabriel's bread and butter, is converting third downs. Like, the reason Oregon wins games, like, the reason they beat Penn State is because they converted third downs and a fourth down. Like, they just get the yards they need, and they set themselves up in really good, like, downs, like, short down situations. So the reason they're so good on third down is because, hey, they have, like, third and two. And so they can do pretty much anything they want to get third and two, because you know what? They're going to go for it on fourth down anyways. And so,
you want to know what?
So the defense has no idea how to stop it. And even if they do, Dylan Gabriel's so smart with the football that you know and trust that he's going to make the right decision, and he usually does.
And even on two high-leverage fourth and longs at Wisconsin against Penn State, you want to know what he did? Threw it to Ferguson.
Made a play
and T-Ferg's there and backbreakers. Like, no, just,
you know what pains me to equate it to is those Patriot teams with Brady. Outside of that year, those two years with Moss, where he finally attacked downfield.
Yeah.
It was this Oregon offense. Just get ahead of the sticks. You complete all those third downs. There's nothing too crazy happening. You're just methodically just punishing a team every possession
and clutch.
Like I said, maybe you get a third and long and you got Tom Brady and he picks it up. And that's what Gabriel has been this year.
And what they did against Ohio State last time they played too was they actually started going over the top. So Ohio State really is going to have to think about that in this game on Wednesday. Wednesday, by the way, it's fucking weird. But I don't know if you're Ohio State watching what Oregon has done against them and then what they've done since then, I don't know how you game plan them. Because honestly, you look at what Oregon's done since they played Ohio State, it's mostly been Jordan James. Like they have been riding Jordan James for most of the season.
For a majority of those
they games, didn't have so. Tez. They didn't. And now they do, and look at what Tez did against Penn State. And so what do you prepare for? Because Oregon really offensively, they have so many weapons that I don't know how you game plan for that. Because that's sort of what Stein's done such a good job of this season too, is even when guys are there and when guys aren't as well, is he's been game planning and getting the playmakers who are available the ball in good situations. And they've been making plays.
Do you guys just see this game hashing out kind of like how the first game did? I mean, we all know Ohio State's going to move the ball too, absolutely, and they're going to score points. 100%. It's going to be the same thing. It's going to come down to who can make the important stop at the time and who doesn't turn the ball over. That was the difference in the first game. And I just see the same thing again in the second game.
Because we were just talking about Tez. The three-plus games, you can stretch into four if you want to make an Oregon homer point, which I will. But from first quarter Michigan to the Washington game where they kind of eased them back in, we were like, God, the offense, man, that was clunky. Mm-hmm. And that Wisconsin game, 13 points, stunk. There's no way around that. But it was like at Michigan, 38 points. Maryland game, where everyone's like, ugh,
they're all 39
points. Washington game, 48 points or whatever it was. So, again, there's this weird – and it's bizarre because from like a national standpoint – talking about Oregon's, and I think Oregon gets a lot of praise and credit. I'm not doing that. No one ever respects us. But everyone always respects their offense. Like, that has never been a thing. It's always been. They're flashy, but they got no sizzle, no steak. But now they got the steak, and the offense is still just, casual 39 in Michigan.
Humming along.
Without our best receiver. Yeah. Uh-huh. People are like, I just don't know. There's something about Dylan Gabriel. He doesn't excite me, and
AJ McCarron wasn't exciting either, and he won a national championship. So,
but even the Penn State game, and again,
by the way, this guy way better than AJ McCarron. Let me say that right now. Okay, sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
I will take those Bama receivers AJ McCarron had though. How about that?
But like you can't defend the Oregon offense at Wisconsin.
Yeah.
There's really no defending the defense in Indianapolis against Penn State.
You know, right? I'll say the Wisconsin game, I did say it a couple times during the game, fuck, they're missing Tez right here. They kept those wide pass plays to like Sadiq, and he's just not quick enough to get 4 or 5 yards when they needed it. And Tez does it every single time. So, sorry. Sorry.
I lost my train.
Defense? You're talking about the defense?
Yeah, it was. I don't remember.
Against
Penn State, if you looked at like the PFF grades, they will tell you that defensive line and Abdul Carter like collapsed the pocket. Did it feel like they were collapsing the pocket to you?
I don't think Never. He got pressure the entire game from
The grades are insane. Where the Ohio State defensive line grades, they had no grades. It was like you never dented them. So my thing is, if they've already just faced maybe the best single defender like rusher they're gonna face, and I just didn't feel like there was pressure, even though Mike Florio tells us there is.
The only time he made plays, Abdul Carter, we're talking about, is when Oregon passed the ball and he was forced to run out and make a tackle on a wide receiver.
And he made some great.
He did, yeah.
And again, Oregon gets plenty of media recognition. They 100% do. But when people are breaking down this game and they talk about defensive line, I don't know how you give Ohio State the edge at defensive line. Look at Jack Sawyer's stats. Look at Tuamalu's stats. Look at Birch's stats. He's missed 4 games. Look at Matty Yu's stats. He's a true sophomore. And Harmon's getting picked maybe even in the top 10. And Caldwell, he's kind of had
–
He's fallen a little bit, but
he's a space filler.
But Sawyer and JTT are names we've known for 4 years. So there's still this assumption they're world beaters. They have like 4.5 sacks this year, like a piece. Like, it's, I think Sawyer might have 6 and JTT has like 4.5. Yeah. It's not Birch, and it's not.
No. Maddie's got like 11.5 now. Like,
yeah. Like, it's. Birch didn't play against Ohio State, and Birch really hasn't played, it feels like, for about 6 weeks consistently.
I'll say.
He's been in, he's been out, yeah. He's sat, he's. So
I'll say Oregon didn't have Birch against Ohio State last time.
Exactly.
A big reason they've been successful towards the second half of the season defensively is because of the emergence of Matty U. The emergence of Matty U doesn't happen if Birch doesn't get hurt. Now they have Birch back. They're full strength, man. Like, I don't know how you can downgrade Oregon because of...
Penn State game is all they're downgraded on. That's the last game everyone saw, and they saw that Penn State offense... put up some points,
which they did. Which they're very good.
But then, like, if you actually watched that Tennessee game, I mean, Ohio State didn't force any turnovers. Mm-hmm. They only had 4 sacks, and I think at least 2 of them were just on Nico, just not knowing how to be a real quarterback, and just ran into sacks. Yeah. So it wasn't like, in my eyes, I didn't think their defense was like overwhelmingly good against a pedestrian Tennessee team.
I mean, Tennessee's best wide receiver was a guy that transferred from Oregon 2 years ago because he got squeezed out of the roster. Like,
And
he still supports the Ducks. It's all love. He gets on Twitter and gives the Ducks props. He just declared for the NFL, and he mentioned Dan Lanning, Mario, Otzen, all the stuff in the graphic. So we're cool. We're cool, Dante Thornton.
We are.
He would be the 4 at Oregon.
Maybe.
Yeah, like he might be Gary Bryant Jr. in Oregon. Like, it's just the truth.
Yeah,
like Ohio State's wide receivers are better than Oregon's. Sure, okay, not by much. I don't know who's better than Oregon other than Ohio State. But again, it's like the defensive line. It's like we've known some of these names for so long that, and they wear the silver helmet with the Buckeyes, that it just looks cooler. Mm-hmm. We're just trained to where it's the best you've ever seen. Yeah. It's I'll say it now. I think Oregon's going to win.
Yeah.
I know we're doing picks, but.
Would JT, was it Tumalo? Is that how you pronounce it?
Tuamalo?
Would he even be a starter on this current Oregon team? Would he start over Birch or Matty U?
Wouldn't start over Birch.
I mean, he was that late flip to Ohio State over Oregon. And it was
he would have started the year over Matty U for sure. Yeah. I would think Matty U would have overtaken him, but maybe he never gets the chance to overtake him. But
just current looking at the stats, he's not playing over either of those guys by just the pure numbers of it.
And if you actually listen, like, Ohio State fans don't actually really like JTT. They're like, he's had 3 good games. 2 of them were against Penn State in 4 years. Like, good for him. But
I have
this version of Ohio State.
I have a hard time saying Oregon's wide receivers are anything other than a push with Ohio State.
Well,
I know, and I preface this by saying, like, obviously Ohio State has amazing wide receivers. Obviously, like, they are incredible. Look, guys, like,
skill set of the groups,
they are very different. Absolutely, like Ohio State has the more NFL prototypical wide receivers.
That's what it is.
But as far as
the college game goes, like, I'll take Tez Johnson over anybody. Like,
absolutely.
His quickness, we've never seen it before. Like, and we watched DeAnthony Thomas. Like, we've never seen a quick twitch guy like Tez Johnson before. And you know, I don't know how you cover Tez Johnson. Like, I really don't. And you have that as your leader, and then you have a guy like Holden, who is more your prototypical NFL body wide receiver, who's physical and likes being physical and will take it to people. And then you have Stewart, who is essentially Tez, but with not as much quick twitch. And is good and can be good.
He's a little deeper version.
Had his best game against Ohio State. Like, and then you have Ferguson, who is an NFL tight end. Like, again, top to bottom, Oregon's wide receivers. Like, I can't put anybody above them.
Here's my question to you then. Third and 10, you need to throw a football.
Jeremiah Smith.
To get the first down. what receiver would you want to be throwing it to?
Probably Jeremiah Smith. But that said,
for 10 yards, I want Tez.
Yeah,
If I need a big play,
cover him
or a big
cover Tez. Good luck. Yeah. In a one on one, I need 10 yards. Cover Tez. I'd love to see it.
He's just a slightly smaller Amon-Ra St. Brown with his route running and speed.
Like we're all on the same wavelength. Where whatever you define as a really long 3rd and 10, Jeremiah Smith, got it. But it, like, the intermediate to short to the plays that happen like 4 or 5 times in a game, I don't know how you don't pick Tez.
Like jump ball, fade pattern, give me Jeremiah Smith.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah,
he's gonna be picked way higher in the draft. Tez weighs 160 pounds. Like we know the physical gifts aren't the same.
Ibuka too, by the way. Like he's like really good too. Yeah,
he's really good too.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
but again, if this was an Ohio State team that had like C.J. Stroud still at quarterback, these receivers would be even more scary. I just am not scared of Howard attacking you downfield like that with these receivers.
And by the way, C.J. Stroud threw for like 500 yards against Oregon, and they lost. So there you go. Okay, we should probably move on. Anything else we want to talk about before we do lines? Because we got a big, long
big slate of games
coming up. We got a title decider. Week coming up, probably. Yes.
Before we move on to lines, have you guys paid attention to the ESPN on ESPN crime in regards to the CFP?
Yeah, Herb Street and Shannon Sharp, right?
Oh, yeah, and then it extended to Monday Night Football when Buck and Aikman were clearly taking the sides of Herb Street, going, I don't know how you can get on TV every morning and discredit Indiana and SMU. And, oh, you know, sometimes these people got to pay attention to the games. And what's funny is I guarantee you Stephen A. Smith and Shannon Sharp, they ain't watching college football.
No.
Let's be real. No. Like, Stephen A. Smith, I laugh at the craft of Stephen A. Smith. I don't hate him like a lot of people do because I know he's just doing an act.
That's a shtick.
It's a bit.
So I've watched First Take way more than I would like to admit in snippets or online clips. He doesn't watch college football. He'll say Roll Tide because he doesn't know anyone's name. He'll just say Roll Tide. Yeah, he didn't watch. It's fine, Kirk. They're right that First Take is being ridiculous. I just think it's funny that they're all warring together. And while Stephen A. Smith is the most valuable person at ESPN, and Shannon Sharp has tremendous value, Buck and Herb Street, don't go after them.
Yeah.
live sports drive the bus. And they're the two rock stars. Whatever you think about them, they are the rock stars.
Yeah, notice Sharp hasn't said anything about Buck and Aikman yet.
He went from saying there's not enough bosses at ESPN to get me to shut up to one of those bosses giving him a memo going, hey, 25 million people tuned in to Monday Night Football. On a good day, First Take, and this is tremendous numbers, I'm not sliding, you get 637,000. So let's tamp that down a little bit. Just a little bit.
I love how he was essentially like acting like he wanted to fight. Shut up.
Shannon Sharp is doing shtick too.
Yeah, machismo.
I've watched some of his long form podcasts. Him and Chad Ochocinco on Nightcap are funny.
You watched his long form podcast? What are we talking about again?
I listened to that one.
Yeah.
That one didn't have video.
That one didn't have the video.
I still think he staged that one.
God, I would love it if that was true. Oh my God, that'd be so funny.
No one can prove it, but there's no way he.
That would be so funny. Okay. Before we do lines, I forgot to say the movie. Our movie this week is A Knight's Tale. It's Ski's movie. It's A Knight's Tale, and that is on what, Ski? What was it on? Prime?
Amazon.
Yeah, Prime,
better,
Prime Video.
Better get after it soon, because I think it leaves Prime in like 4 days.
4 days. All right, so get on it, watch it, listen to us talk about it on Sunday. I'll have to remember that on Sunday to not tell people to watch it, because they won't be able to. so, yeah. A Knight's Tale on Prime Video. Watch it. Listen to us talk about it. Let's do lines.
Lines.
Lines everywhere.
Lines.
Lines.
Jesus, I don't even know where to start. Lines, there's so many
lines.
Games.
There's lines. Lines.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You're like the ghost of Christmas past.
Right.
Lines, lines.
We currently have a bowl game going right now.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Those points will go towards next week.
Okay.
Hey, we are all tied at the top here, fellas.
No, we're not.
King, you had 8
no,
points.
We're not.
Froggy, you had 5 points.
Oh!
I had 6 points, so you guys are tied at 94.
Yeah, we're tied. Okay, yeah. I was like, you are not.
I have 80, but hey, I'm close.
Enron executive up here cooking the books. Someone on the Doge committee just cooking those books.
Yeah, Hakua over here with selling coins.
But we have 23 games to pick, so anything
can
happen. Yeah, I was shocked.
Oh my god.
So we'll run through these quick.
Seriously,
all right,
seriously, Ski could actually win. this is amazing.
Mathematically alive. First game, we have the Armed Forces Bowl. We have Oklahoma. 2.5-point favorites against Navy.
Oh boy!
You guys hate America, or do you guys love America?
Oh boy! Because Navy coming off their big win against the Army.
Woo! Want to know what Oklahoma's going to do to the Naval Academy? They'll put a boot up their ass. It's the American way. Give me the Sooners. That's
Toby
Keith's song for all the kids out there.
I got Navy, boys. I got Navy. Because I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And so I rise up. Okay, that's enough. I'm going
to
stop.
Next to her, I like good USA.
Unfortunately, Navy's quarterback is not named McHale. This is McHale's name. So give me Boomer Sooner.
When did you write that joke down, Ski?
Just now.
Okay. Sure, it wasn't a few days ago?
No, it was not.
You sure you weren't like sitting down eating some Christmas cookies and you're like, oh, McHale's Navy, let's go.
Thank you for your service, though.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Next, we go to the Birmingham Bowl. We have Georgia Tech, 2.5-point favorites against Vanderbilt.
Is Vandy's quarterback playing? What's his face?
He better if he's suing the fucking NCAA.
I know, right? That's kind of my thinking, too. Georgia Tech, please and thank you.
Yep, Ramblin' Rack.
Bzzz.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have to go with you guys as well. Some Jackets. They coming off that big win last game. Was that Clemson win, wasn't it? So,
yep. I think
probably losing to Georgia and like
I guess yeah that
they
Georgia
did was, lose
yeah.
to Georgia, but it yeah, was like an overtime or something, right?
Like,
yeah.
It was like six overtime. Yeah, like six overtime.
It was a whole bunch of overtimes. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
That's a tough one. All right. Next, hey, we love the troops again in America. We're going to the Liberty Bowl. We got Texas Tech 1.5-point favorite against Arkansas. I guess I'm just gonna take not Texas Tech.
I think I'm gonna take Texas Tech. I have no idea.
Arkansas has like that really athletic quarterback or something, right? Don't they? Am I making that up? Am I thinking South Carolina? Like they're both
it's
red.
Like when people said like, Jameis Winston was an athlete. This is like the guy who told me Happy Rosh Hashanah when I ordered.
Like Chinese Darren Thomas is the same athlete as Dennis Dixon. Like,
right.
Well, I guess I gotta go Arkansas then. I guess because I definitely know who their quarterback is, and he's athletic.
They beat the balls.
Watch him be like a 6'8", 260-pound white dude.
No, I think his name is Talon Green or something. I think he is more athletic than a pure thrower of the ball. Jokes aside.
All right. But, I know my Arkansas.
Yeah, you do. Hey, we know this bowl. We got the Holiday Bowl up. Syracuse, 16.5-point favorites against the Cougs.
Syracuse.
Yes.
What are we doing?
I am star picking Syracuse.
Yeah, that's so gonna be, it's gonna be a star pick. It's gonna be a star pick for me as well. Yep.
Because God, are they what, like third string Wazoo QB? They're on.
No head coach, no offensive coordinator, no defensive coordinator. Yeah, they're a mess.
Who is coaching? Do we know this?
I saw the name. I don't remember.
Okay.
But yeah, they're down so many transfers. Yeah, they're going to get duped.
I mean, Syracuse isn't good yet, but they're going to slaughter. Yeah.
They beat the Canes.
They did beat them Canes. All right. Next, we go to the Vegas Bowl. Texas A&M, 3.5-point favorites against USC.
A&M.
You know what? Give me the Trojans. I've picked them enough this year. Give me the Trojans.
I mean, there's
you guys ever watched?
No reason why you should do that. But, all right.
You guys ever watch the A&M yell midnight yell thing they do before home games?
No.
Where they have students on the field in suspenders.
Oh, the stupid suspender people. Yeah, yeah, I know those stupid people.
And those people who in Los Angeles aggie up are homeless.
Yes.
I'm still picking the Aggies.
I saw a special feature on Disney Plus about the dog that they have that runs out on the field before the game. It was narrated by the guy who did the voice of Goofy. It was... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone, give me your best Goofy Gorsh.
Gorsh. Yeah. Goofy, just out there living, single dad, you know, like.
Texas A&M people should.
He's the best of us.
Yeah.
Go away.
Actually, well, if you look it up, Goofy did kill his wife.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Look it up.
But, you know.
His cow wife, correct?
Yes, after the milkman came. That's not a joke. That is a whole deep dive.
Yeah. And his buddy
canon right there.
His buddy next door, the bulldog family, also a single dad, by the way, right? Like, yeah.
Helped him bury this Goofy world.
They're I know. Like, just don't dig up the backyards. That's all I'm saying. The bones they snack on aren't going to be the only bones buried in those backyards.
Gorsh.
All
right.
Homicide.
Next we go to fucking Boston for the Fenway Bowl here. UConn, they're playing North Carolina. Tar Heels 2.5-point favorites.
North Carolina, come on and raise up.
I'm just going to write Petey Pablo in
like
here.
Like a helicopter. Yeah.
I mean,
let me tell you something. You don't just walk into Fenway Park, look Jim Mora Jr. in the eye.
Jim Mora.
And take his car park. I'm going Huskies. Give me UConn.
UConn. The fucking Huskies.
You guys know the UConn plays like 40 miles away from their campus?
Yeah.
I was not aware of that.
Middle of fucking nowhere.
That's that's Eugene to Corvallis, by the way. That's
like,
a drive.
Look up UConn's football stadium. You're like, this is not real. Yeah. What? There's nothing.
It makes sense. I mean, you go see the Pats from Boston. It takes 45 minutes to take a train there.
Foxborough's basically in like Rhode Island.
Yeah,
like,
pretty much.
Yeah.
All right.
They're gonna have both Belichicks on the sideline, by the way, for this one.
They'll be in the stands.
I bet.
They'll be in the stands. All right, next, I guess we're going to fucking New York. We got the Pinstripe Bowl. BC, 3.5-point dogs to Nebraska.
Gotta love Boston College playing in the Pinstripe Bowl, by the way. That's
you don't just walk into New Yankee Stadium, look Boston College's coach in the eyes, but the ghost of Johnny Damon and blanking on some...
Nomar Garciaparra! Wait, no, wrong team.
Mark Bellhorn.
Mark Bellhorn.
Those guys. Jed Lowry. Foxwoods commercials.
A's legend Jed Lowry.
Duncan. Yeah. Give me the other team.
Nebraska?
Give me Nebraska.
Booble says Mike Lowell.
Again. Definitely Mike Cole.
Definitely. Hell yeah. Kevin Pillar.
Fucking Pillar. I'm back in the Big Ten as well. Give me Nebraska.
I think every time I've picked Nebraska,
oh,
they have...
Mirabelli.
Yeah, there you go. I think every time I've picked Nebraska, they have lost for me. Yeah.
Or Doug McDavid.
Doug McDavid. Yeah. Mike Timlin.
Timmers. Alan Embry.
Oh, Alan Embry! Wakefield, rest in peace.
Bronson Arroyo.
Oh, Bronson Arroyo. A white man with blonde
with dreads.
Where's
his dreads?
Cornrows.
Cornrows.
Let's see, we got Trot Nixon, Jason Veritek from Boomer.
Trotta.
We don't hit 240 hitters. Yep. No, with baseball is baseball.
I'm taking Nebraska. They're gonna let me down again. Like, I know this, yeah. But I'll pick them.
All right,
Shaughnessy. Peter Gammons.
Coco Crisp and Dave. Coco Crisp and Dave Roberts from Booble again.
Mike Lupica. Oh, he's from New York.
He's from New York, yeah. But...
Lupica.
Lupica. All right. New Mexico Bowl. We got Louisiana. They're playing TCU, who is an 11.5 point favorite. Make your choices here.
I remember Max Duggan, so I'll pick TCU.
That's a name.
Let me just look at my notes.
Yeah. Check your in-depth notes you have for this matchup.
The Raging Cajuns, they are, I believe. Louisiana?
You're taking Louisiana?
Just Louisiana. I'm going Louisiana with the points. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Give me TCU chasing the points of you guys. All right, now we finally get into a good bowl here. We got the Pop-Tarts Bowl. We got Iowa State. They are, 3.5 point dogs to them Canes.
Dem Canes.
Now, Cam Ward playing, yay, nay?
All the Canes are playing.
All the Canes are playing.
Yep, I got the Canes by a million.
Yeah, they're going to win by a whole bunch. Whole bunch, Miami.
All right, yep, I am on Miami as well. Next, we got the Arizona Bowl. We have Miami of Ohio.
I think you have to say the Arizona Bowl's full name. I feel like this
just
is
called the. It's just called the Arizona Bowl now. It's just flat.
Are you sure? Okay.
That's all it's listed
there's
as.
There's no
now.
Sponsor.
No, that's all it's listed as now is just the Arizona Bowl. Okay, maybe it's maybe it's the Arizona Tea Bowl.
Yeah, we're Googling.
But. That is Miami, Ohio, 2.5 point favorite against Colorado State.
Who you got, Ski?
Obviously, I back the Mac, so give me Miami of Ohio.
Yeah, it's just the Arizona Bowl.
Yeah,
gin and juice. There you go. Presented by Gin and Juice. There you go.
The Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl.
Yeah.
Presented by Gin and Juice and Dre and Snoop. Sadoop has his name in the bowl name.
He does.
Not once,
yep.
But twice.
And
even
I don't know.
Rob Gronkowski couldn't do that.
Whoever's playing the MAC team, I wasn't even listening. I hate the MAC.
Colorado State.
Yeah, get that part of the country out of here.
What's the line?
2.5.
Michigan.
Who's what? For who?
Miami of Ohio favored by 2.5.
I have Miami of Ohio. Because, again... Riding Chalamet until this season's over, boys. You know what I mean?
Enjoy your smokestack.
Oh, baby.
Next game, honor our troops. We got the Military Bowl. We got East Carolina, 6.5 point dogs against NC State.
Do you hear that?
Don't you ride the wolf?
Got the wolf pack, baby.
Oh!
I can't do it. There we go.
Yeah. I'll take NC State. All right, sure.
I guess I'm gonna ride the Pirates. Give me the Pirates. The ghost of Mike Leach will help East Carolina win this game. Those Pirates so much.
Is he affiliated? Other than just being a pirate?
Okay. Close Pirates.
All right.
All right. Next, we remember the Alamo. This actually might be an okay game. BYU, 3.5-point dogs against Colorado.
Because I saw a quote today from the BYU quarterback saying that this game is the people's Big 12 championship game, not Iowa State and Arizona State. Picking Colorado.
Okay, guy. Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. BYU. Okay.
Yeah, we just think you're cool because you had a cool Jewish gimmick for about 3 weeks.
Yeah, think you're so cool. Colorado's going to win by a lot of points. Shadur and Hunter are playing, and they got big insurance policies, so they're going to cut it loose, and they're going to win by a whole bunch.
By the way, can I just say that when people are like, how does anyone get tired of Colorado football?
Yeah.
The way the media spun the fact that these guys have the insurance policies for a bowl game, is that as though that's never fucking happened before when it's a fucking thing for years?
Yeah.
That's why people get tired of Colorado football. Yes, it's good they did it. It's not new.
No.
Bo Nix at it. It's the only reason he fucking played last year.
No, they're revolutionizing insurance the game. Nah, you don't get it. You don't get it, King. You don't get it.
Google Mahdi have a big one.
He did. He got $1 million. But he turned it down because he I think
it was a decade ago.
Yeah.
And
ESPN and Fox, they're all acting like this is so. Yeah. Who wouldn't want to play for that coach?
Changing the game. Changing the game, man.
No, King. Again, you're not paying attention. They are revolutionizing the sport.
I know.
Okay.
Race thing again.
The program. Yeah. Would you get off your take off?
No, it's like Vivek said. It's like Vivek said, we got too many lazy people in America today. You know, so, you know, I'm over it.
Yeah.
All right. Next game, we have the Will Smith and Bill Pullman Bowl, also known as the Independence Bowl. Louisiana Tech as 16.5-point dogs against our troops of Army.
And that's because someone had to back out, right?
Yes.
I can't remember what team backed out.
Marshall?
No Marshall.
They had no players.
It was Marshall. Yeah.
From the mountains to the prairies to the ocean, why we form. God bless America and their third place quarterback and Heisman by 10 writers who just wanted to make a cool tweet. Give me the Black Knights.
I use Louisiana Tech on, I have a Conference USA dynasty with a few buddies. I use Louisiana Tech on them. I won the Heisman with their running back. He's not actually that good.
So you know some players on this Louisiana team, Louisiana
yeah,
Tech team, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I do. And they're really good in my season.
Troy Edwards still at La Tech?
No, he's not. They have a wide receiver whose name is DeColdest Crawford.
Where he ended up?
First name is DeColdest, which is fantastic. Yeah. I have Army winning this game. I don't think it's I kind of want to go Louisiana Tech with the points just because Army looked real bad against Navy. But they're better.
Navy knows that gimmick fucking offense. Louisiana Tech had no idea, probably hadn't seen it since the last time we played a military school 20 years ago, some shit like that. So yeah. Give me Army as well.
Two things real quick before we move on. La Tech's helmet, very cool. Shape of Louisiana and a T. Cool. And if anyone's bored, Google DeColdest, whatever his last name
Crawford.
Is, Crawford,
uh-huh.
and an air conditioner commercial. It's very funny.
Okay. Is the air conditioners make your house DeColdest?
Yes, because he's like, I'm DeColdest. Yeah. It was one of the first NIL commercials. It's very bad.
Sounds fantastic, though. Next, we're on to the Music City Bowl. We have Kings, Iowa, but they're also playing Kings, Missouri. Missouri, 3.5-point favorites.
Mizzou.
Wow. Against your Hawkeyes?
This was a playoff caliber Iowa team.
It was.
Give me Iowa. They still got that. They got that fight in them to play in the Music City Bowl.
Yeah, I got Iowa. Yeah. I don't know why. I just, yeah.
Oh, now we got one of King's favorite bowls. We have the ReliaQuest Bowl.
I love the ReliaQuest Bowl.
Bama. 12.5-point favorites against Michigan.
Ooh.
It, can you tell me, somehow did Alex Orji back out of this game?
Yeah, he's gone.
He will not be at the stadium.
Yes, he will not be at the stadium.
Give me Michigan to cover then.
Just because he's not in the stadium?
Because there will be zero Alex Orji packages in this game.
Yeah. Alabama, I will be taking.
I'll say Bama. Man, we're a little some revenge from the CFP semifinal loss to the Wolverines last year.
Yep.
Getting them back in the ReliaQuest Bowl.
Boy, it is really amazing. The fact that they played each other in the playoff last year, and now they're playing ReliaQuest the next. That is kind of incredible.
All right. Hey, now we're on to one of the classic bowls here. We got the Sun Bowl. Louisville, 2.5-point favorites against the Huskies.
Give me the cards. Spurs up.
Give me the cards as well.
I will take Washington.
Yeah, we know you would, you fucking Husky honk. You'll love them.
I don't love them. I am not confident about this pick at all.
Love them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Jet Fish going to get him up for a bowl? I mean, all right.
Sure.
How many games we got left? Another dozen or so?
About almost 10 still.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, my God.
This is amazing. Okay.
Next, we got the Citrus Bowl next. South Carolina, 9.5-point favorites against the Illini.
South Carolina.
Illinois just lost their quarterback, or was that Maryland? Who am I thinking of? Maryland?
Not telling you.
Illinois' quarterback is coming back. That's right.
Speed it up.
Illinois. Back to big, boys.
Pick the Illini as well. Back big. All day. Next, we're going to the Texas Bowl. Baylor, 2.5-point favorites against LSU.
Ooh, LSU.
Yeah, I guess.
That's a weird line.
Yeah, they must have a lot of guys sitting out or something. But I'm still going to take the SEC school in the bowl.
Baylor. I'm trusting Vegas. Above anything else. That's literally it for me. I have no analysis of this game.
No. Actually, we're on to this is the last bowl before the playoffs. We got the Gator Bowl. Duke, 14.5-point dogs against Ole Miss.
Oh, my God. Ole Miss by 1,000.
Is this a statement game from Ole Miss saying, why did you leave us out of the playoffs?
And Duke lost their quarterback, too. Like,
yeah.
This is going to be like an – you know what? I'm going to change my star pick. Like, Ole Miss is my star pick.
Now I got to go back and
unstar
pick your star pick?
Sorry. Yeah. You guys taking the easy one against the Cougs. I got Ole Miss.
You're taking the easy one against Duke.
Coconut up. Come on, Kiffin.
All right. First playoff game, Penn State, 11.5 over Boise. I just don't see Boise being able to hang defensively. Just make Max throw. Yeah. Just try to bottle up Genty. Yeah, give me Penn State in a landslide.
Yeah, I think like Genty's going to get like 160 yards, but he's going to do it on like 35 carries.
They're
not going to be able to throw. Like I can't imagine it. I got Penn State as well.
Yeah,
couple scores.
Give me the Nits.
Yep. Another big line. Texas 13.5 against Dillingham and ASU. You know what?
Yeah,
what?
I do. What? I do know what.
Give me Arizona State. Give me Arizona State to win.
Tell him, Terry. Tell him. Yeah,
I don't have ASU winning, but ASU covering.
Hammering ASU here, absolutely.
I think Texas will wear them out as the game goes on. But if Dillingham comes out and has 14 points on the first two possessions, I will not be shocked. Just gimmicky, weird shit.
Scadabo is good enough to run. The quarterback's just good enough to throw the football. If their defense could just slow Texas down at all,
get like
it's going to come down to the wire.
One turnover, like one or two Texas fuck ups. Yeah.
At least we will see this will be, you know, the whole thing of, oh, would you rather have the bye or play the weaker teams? Mm-hmm. This is the first one. Let's see if these bye games actually help these teams more than the teams that have played a game already.
Dilly knows ball, baby. Like, that guy is a motivator. He has been so impressive this year. And frankly, Texas has not. I think Arizona State wins. Like, I really do. And I'm not putting my star pick because Kiffin gets my star pick. But yeah. Did we all get Arizona State here?
Yeah, we all
picked. I just have them covering. I think Texas wins.
Yeah, I love it.
Next game, this is the weird line. Notre Dame, they're 1.5-point dogs against Georgia. This one's so hard for me because I have thought Notre Dame is overrated all year. Like I said, they played nobody. I didn't even think they looked all that great last week. You know, they kind of had it in hand. But we have no idea what Georgia's quarterback's going to be. I mean, it's not Carson Beck, which is, I guess, a good thing, possibly.
No, it's not.
That good.
No, it's not.
But
like
it's not that good. This guy could be good.
The backup is not as good as Beck. And Beck is way more experienced, has won big games before. This is one of those deals where Beck looks like a dork and he's been overrated for a while. And so we're like, oh, yeah, they're going to be better off without Beck. No, they're not. I still think this line is weird. I think Notre Dame wins. Irish.
I was going to pick Notre Dame too, but I'm chasing points. So I'll just have to take Georgia this one. Give me the Bulldogs. Last game, Ohio State by 2.5 right now, I saw it at, against the Ducks.
I already told you what I'm doing.
I got Oregon in for you already.
Without Apex Predators, the food chain gets out of whack.
Ducks.
Oregon. Boy, like, God, like, country, college football world, Vegas, please continue to say how good Ohio State is. Like, please, like, until the kickoff, please continue telling Dan Lanning that Oregon is overrated and Ohio State is better. This Ohio State team, what's Oregon going to be able to do? Yeah, no, keep telling Dan Lanning that. Yeah, go for it. See how well that fucking works for you. Miss me with that.
Now, if the Ducks had lost the Big Ten championship, I might have been going with Ohio State because they beat Ohio State. That was at home. I mean, Lanning still doesn't have the track record of winning that big game other than now that Penn State game.
And the Ohio State game.
But that, again, that was at home. It was a big game, but it was a home game. Big game.
I love all the qualifiers.
Yeah. Neutral. No, to your point.
It was on NBC. It wasn't exactly.
Neutral site win is a big deal for Oregon. Like, I agree. Beating Penn State was not a small deal. Like coming through, winning that game, because Penn State is a really good team, and they continue to sort of prove or disprove arguments against them this year. So first it was Lanning win the big game. Yes, he beat Ohio State. Can he win like a game outside of Autzen? Uh-huh. Yep. Did it a few times. So yeah.
Yeah. So I am taking Oregon now because I'm not worried about Lanning in the big game. I'm a little worried still on some of his judgment calls on going for twos and shit like that. But as a whole, I'm not as worried about Lanny in the big game.
Do you think he uses Home Alone as the motivator this week? Like, you know, Ohio State's the wet bandits, and we're the pesky. We're trying to defend our turf.
I must defend this program.
Wait till they get a load of me. Oh wait, I think that's a different movie, isn't it?
If they win, you this filthy game, animal. The Ducks versus them is going to be just electric.
And then also, just from a purely straight, you know, team A versus team B with all the numbers and records of everything, the smart money should be betting Oregon. You're getting plus money on the number one team in the country.
It's Ohio State, though. Disrespect. They choose the numbers.
They're different.
They do. But I'm saying, yeah, if you just look at the numbers of everything like that, yeah, you take the Ducks in this one. Yeah. Blind bet them to win just by numbers. That's all the game. We still have, I think there'll be three more bowl games and then the rest of the playoffs. So we'll see what happens with these 20-some-odd games we picked.
We'll see if we have a pod after next week.
Yeah, we'll see if Lions continues. It could be a winner. Could potentially be a winner already.
So just FYI, I will be leaving for Spain first 2 weeks of January. It is after... So I leave on the 3rd. So Rose Bowl will happen. We'll have the pod the next day. And we'll see what happens after that. I don't know.
I will text you from Spain to get your picks.
To get my picks. Perfect.
If it comes down to it in the end.
That'll work. Okay. All right.
There will be a winner decided.
There will be, yes. All right. Let's do our list. Do we want to do a list or do we want to just call it good? We have a list.
It was a quick list.
It's a quick list.
I'm going to throw real quick because, man, those picks were a grind. I'm losing my place.
It was a grind.
Grinding. Our list comes from DuckDuckChef in the Discord. Join our Discord, won't you? Sportsbury and Discord. It's where we get our list ideas, where we get our movie ideas, all of the things. DuckDuckChef suggested top three Christmas gifts you got as a kid. Who wants to start?
I'll start it quick, nice, easy. N64. Yeah. Tough to beat opening that box. That was like the first like big box you got when you got a console too.
Yeah, that was the thing, right? Like I haven't had that experience in a really long time where I like, because it used to be about the big boxes, right? Like you would. And you knew it was a console. And so you had like all these little things, like you get books, you get socks, you get like whatever. And then there'd be the box and you're like, is that it? Like, is that it? It looks like it. And then you pick it up and shake it. Like, I don't know what a Nintendo sounds like when you shake it, but this is probably a Nintendo. My number three is a PS2. By the way, I did say in the Discord, I was like, our top three is going to be like all consoles, basically.
You know, you a kid when the PS2 came out?
Yeah, it was like middle school, right? It was like middle school, right? Yeah.
PS2?
Yeah.
That might have been pushing high school.
Like 2003.
All right, I'm Googling it right now.
Mine's the same thing.
Definitely not that late, though.
My number three is
Genesis,
Sonic ruled.
All right. I was 18 years old when the when the PS2 came out. All right. PS1. There you go. What was your number three? Sorry.
Sega Genesis.
Genesis. Yeah. God. Sega. Genesis was so good. Do you guys have the Sega Master System, the one that came like before it? Yeah.
No. I only just had the Sega.
I did. I had that and the Nintendo at the same time. No big deal.
I still have my Sega.
The Genesis? Yeah.
Do you have the Sega CD with it?
I do not have Sega CD.
So you can't play Sewer Shark and Cliffhanger?
No.
Toe Jam and Earl, and then they pulled it. They're like, this product sucks.
Yes. And I do not have the little accessory that you could buy that like doubled the bits. You, like put it in the top of it and somehow magically doubled the bits that you had.
The Game Genie as well? Oh boy.
Oh, I have definitely had a Game Genie.
Yes. And did you guys get the gaming magazines too? Like Game Pro and Electronic Gaming Monthly?
a Game Pro.
Yeah. And they used to come with demo discs. Those were awesome.
Definitely did.
So, all right, let's see. Threes from the chat. WCP says Nintendo. Booble says Super Nintendo. All right, my number two is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles pizza shooter. It had like a little motor. You turn it on, it goes, then you drop the pizzas in there, and it had a little trigger, and it just shoot pizzas at my little brother. And it was
light him up.
Yep, light his ass up with pizzas, baby. Cowabunga. That's my two.
My number two, I got it when I was 11 years old. It was a Wilson A2000 glove, baseball glove. And it was, I wish it somehow lasted all the way through high school and stuff. I had to swap it out eventually, but God.
How long?
They did something right in like the mid to late 90s with gloves.
How long until you first used it? Did you oil it up and put the ball in it and use
I'd stick rubber bands tire and run it over a couple times.
There you go.
Break it in enough. Yeah.
There you go. That's how Ski learned to drive, running over baseball gloves.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And then later, once I got to high school and the new glove, you know, chewing tobacco works wonders on leather. That will break a glove in faster than anything. Just spit and punch.
Hell yeah.
All right, what's your two?
My number two was, I think I was 16. It was a snowboard with attached to it a season pass to Willamette Pass and a season pass on the Hokie bus.
Yo, that's big time.
It was big. It was good. I hated it. Even days I didn't feel like snowboarding,
yeah,
I still take the pass and the bus up there on the weekends. I just look cool playing arcade games.
Hell yeah.
I say you weren't actually shredding gnar out there.
No, most of the time I did, but there were definitely some weekends where I was like, I don't really want to go.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Were you crippled that entire winter? I mean,
a lot of wear
and tear on the body. If you,
I did have a pretty bad sprained ankle from an accident that winter. Yeah. It was pretty embarrassing. Yeah.
When was the last time you went snowboarding?
2021.
Not bad.
At Hoodoo?
Yeah, yes. I'm about the same.
Peak COVID? Nice.
Yeah, it was COVID times. Yeah.
Hey, you're wearing masks and shit anyway. It's like, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not bad. That is a good present. Let's see. Twos from the chat. Booble says a Mike Bibby jersey and a Kings hat.
Hell yeah.
That's great. That's actually great. WCP says Sega Genesis. Yeah. I messed up the order on the last one, so shall I just go with my number one?
Let's go for it.
All right. Yeah. Sorry. I know. I don't know what it is with this. I keep like forgetting. I don't know. Maybe it's because I read the list from the chat or whatever. My number one is a Super Nintendo. It is the last Christmas I spent with my grandpa. And I remember I was at my grandpa and my grandma's house in the Bay Area, and I was super duper young. It's like a vivid memory I have of like running out and seeing the box again, the box, like we know the shape of the box. That's the first time I remember it. And I remember seeing the shape of the box, tearing it open and being like the most excited I've ever been in my whole life, getting that Super Nintendo. That was really fun. That's like one of my earliest memories is getting that Super Nintendo for Christmas. So that's it. And by the way, Super Nintendo, like easily, arguably the best console ever with some of the best games. Like Mario 3, Super Tecmo Bowl. Like, I mean, they stack up. Still stacks up. You play Mario Brothers 3, like that game still holds up. And Super Mario Brothers, like, fantastic.
Mario Brothers 3 was clutch because Mario Brothers 2 could have crashed the franchise.
Yeah, it was terrible.
I'm sick of digging for radishes.
The radishes? Yeah. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Yeah.
I mean, it had a Mario Kart game as well.
It did.
What was it, like F-Zero?
F-Zero?
It was the other racing game. Did you have, I remember it had like the, I never had a Super Nintendo.
Did it have NBA Jam? Or was that Genesis?
That was on. That was Sega.
Okay.
Did you have? I don't even know what game it was before, but I remember like seeing it like in those magazines. There was like a little bazooka that you had as like an attachment.
I don't know what game
it was called, but it was like a big like launcher that you'd have on your shoulder with a little eyesight on it, and you would somehow play. I don't even know what game with it, but it looked awesome.
Good stuff. What's yours?
I guess I'll go. My number one is a Nintendo, even though I got it like 6 years after Nintendo came out. So
yeah, still counts.
Still counts.
Yep. All right.
My number one is.
I was gonna say, never. Did you guys ever have the Power Glove?
No, yes. I didn't.
Did you actually have it?
Yeah, I didn't.
It was worthless.
It was totally worthless.
Well, it was awesome because of the wizard, right? Like, yeah. That's the only reason. Yeah.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah, not good.
My number one is, I think I was in fourth grade, and it's when I, maybe third, it's when I realized the power kids have over their parents around Christmas, and I wanted a dog, and I'd been hammering my parents for about 7, 8, 9 months, and eventually I got, on Christmas morning, not one dog, but two dogs. I got a set of English Springer Spaniels named Emmett and Katie, and I named Emmett because I was like
Emmett and Smith.
I named that after Emmett Smith. I don't know why. I was like, I just see him on TV all the time. They win Super Bowl.
All time leading rusher in NFL history. What are we talking about? No brainer.
At that point, he very much wasn't. But
yeah,
he wasn't in his compiling stage yet. At that point.
Like Arizona Cardinals legend, Emmett Smith. Yeah. That's great. Yeah, you can't top consoles or animals. You really can't.
And they were escape artists. I think we had them for about a year and a half. My parents, that Katie would got hit by a car like 10 times. It was just, she was dumb. They always dig it out.
Yep.
Power through it, though. You love to see it.
She didn't die.
Yeah.
That's when I learned about the big farm in the sky or whatever. Oh, yeah. They were like, oh, yeah, we took him to a farm. So, no, you didn't. You didn't. And now, like, you just put something in the wanted ads and someone came and bought them.
Yeah.
Or just straight gave them away that way.
Just imagine that farm, by the way, just a pile of dead animal carcasses. Like, what the fuck? Like, really?
Dog Schwitz.
Yeah. You took my dog to a farm? You're insane. all right. One's from the chat. Booble says, first big kid bike, fucking freedom. Yeah. The bike was big. I can't remember getting one for Christmas, though. That's the thing, too, is like I have a lot of really cool toys from when I was a kid, but I don't remember getting them for Christmas. Like, they might have just been birthday ones, too. Who knows? Like, yeah, and nowadays,
or if I want to get you out of the fucking house, here's a bike.
Yeah,
on a Tuesday.
Yeah, like my best adult present was like getting help buying a car, but I got the money to help buying the car earlier in the year, and it was just like, oh yeah, that's your Christmas present. It's like, all right, let's see. One from WCP is Tecmo Super Bowl. Yeah, all time
great game.
Lawrence Taylor, Bo Jackson. Lawrence Taylor, the guy who could block extra points and field goals.
QB
Mark Favaro.
How could you? Yeah. Honorable mentions from Booble. The Nerf Elway football.
Probably throw that thing a mile.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw like an old commercial for the Whistle Nerf football the other day. The one that had like the
Vortex.
Yeah, the Vortex. It had the thing, what are they called? Shit, the thing that comes off the end, and yeah, you know what I mean. But then it had the whistle on it too, so you just, yeah.
The Vortex had the one, if you caught it wrong, you'd like break the tip of your finger off the hard plastic.
Jam your finger every time, basically, yeah.
Got the soft hands,
yeah,
soft hands.
Totally, that teaches you. And he said 2XL, the trivia robot, and Guess Who, the board game. Yeah, Guess Who was fantastic.
A lot of creepy people with mustaches in that.
Yeah, well, that's how you get them off the board.
I know.
Yeah, that's the first thing that taught you, wipe all the people with mustaches out. Yeah.
First question, is your person a pedophile? Yes or no? You could wipe half the board easily.
It's all gone. Honorable mention from WCP, College Football 96. Yes. NHL 98, and the Game Boy. By the way, I was talking with my kid about the Game Boy like the other day, because it's like impossible for people nowadays to believe that there was no backlighting on that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you, like, if it was dark, you literally couldn't play the thing. Like, I remember going on drives with my Game Boy and having to, like, lean over. Like, it's nighttime. I'm having to lean over and get the street lights, like, just so I could play fucking Dr. Mario. But, yeah. All right. Anything else? Okay. Movie on Sunday is A Knight's Tale. It's on Prime Video. Watch it. Listen to us talk about it. Rose Bowl. It's the Rose Bowl. Oregon's in it. This is no small thing. Let's not act like we're jaded. And this is like a... I know it's the playoff. I know, like, you would like Oregon to have three more games left. But playing Ohio State in the Rose Bowl is a big deal. And frankly, I would like for Oregon to beat Ohio State in a bowl game. They have not had a good track record, and let's go ahead and just end that this year. Huh, Dan? Okay.
Come on, Dan.
Okay.
I'm going to start by talking about ecosystems. Without Apex Predators, the food chain gets out of whack.
Go Ducks.